Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And with that, happy Tuesday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube. We see a dancing Anthony Haney at the Team 980. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Mitch Tischler joins us for his final regular season-ish edition of Tischler Tuesday, fully playoff mode as we move forward. A Take Command Tape Tuesday as well at 5:30. Why was the offense so different with Marcus Mariota compared to Jaden Daniels? You've been wondering why. We have the answer coming up at 5:30. We start, though, Anthony, with breaking news. Breaking news. Oh, snap. News is broken. Breaking news. And that breaking news is that the Las Vegas Raiders have created another coach opening in the NFL. They have fired Antonio Pierce just a year after hiring him following the having a kind of a successful, quasi-successful, if you will, run as the interim coach. And that now makes six openings around the NFL for head coaches. And then you have the Titans, who also made news today because they fired Rand Carthon, their general manager, which creates actually just a second job opening for a front office position in the NFL, or a general manager's position specifically. It's them and the Jets. However, the Patriots, Bears, Jags, and Saints, who all fired their coaches, are all keeping their general managers. Of course, Dallas is still floating out there. They have Mike McCarthy's contract ending next week. Of course, nothing will happen besides negotiations between now and then because the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, so they're not waiting on anything. But his contract expires a week after the regular season, or whatever the language is, that it ultimately is going to expire on January 14th. That one is still TBD. I think there's a couple other, you know, things to keep an eye on around the NFL. We've seen some coordinator movement as well, Cincinnati, Seattle, etc. But Anthony, we now have six head coach openings and Dallas pending. We're going to take the Cowboys out of it for now. Let's play rank a job. If you're a head coach, if you're the Ben Johnsons or Cliff Kingsbury, or whoever else is going to be the top guys, Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator for the Bucks, who the Commanders will see this weekend. How do you stack up these jobs? I'll tell you right now. Here, let me give him my answer, or one answer first. If I'm Cliff specifically, I'm not going anywhere. None of these jobs are appealing to me. So if you're a Commanders fan, I'm gonna say that right now. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I look at exactly zero of these jobs and be like, between the ownership situation, the general manager situation, the quarterback situation, and the cap situation, that's good enough for me to leave Washington when I'm already making head coach money, $7+ million a year from the Arizona Cardinals until 2027. And I can just continue to be an offensive coordinator, something I actually like doing, and learning from Dan Quinn so that when I do get my next head coaching job, I'm good at it. So I know I threw Cliff's name in there, but I would, if I was Cliff and I was in that kind of position where going isn't a given for me, I would just stay.
Do you think, I guess, rekindling or getting back with Caleb Williams would interest him as much as, you know, a lot of media pundits made it seem last year when he was first, you know, on the hiring stages, I guess?
I would say the Bears job is going to be on the top half of my list, but I'm not that interested because I have a general manager who apparently is getting to stay, but is certainly on the hot seat. Like, can he have any more than 1 year if things don't turn around quickly in Chicago? I want to have alignment with my general manager, and ownership has never proved super competent. So I'm good on that. I'll punt.
Yeah, I mean, do you think he's thinking like that, though? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think one of the things that Cliff has learned being here is how important the relationship is between coach, general manager, and how that alignment not only helps you get the right players and is an important relationship just because that's your closest working person that you work with, but it's also really important in how you set the kind of the culture of the building, to use that magical word. And one of the things Cliff talked about last week when he and Fortier went back and forth on this topic was, you know, Sam asked this great question at the end that was basically like, what would you do differently that you've learned about here that's different than the last time? And he's like, from day one, I would set the expectations and the culture. And last time I tried to do it too late and, you know, people had already established stuff and it just doesn't work that way. You have to be very direct, very, and that doesn't mean like you're a drill sergeant a-hole from day one. It just means that you are trying your best to set the standards and culture and create the atmosphere that you want. And instead of being like, oh, just trying to get in and get everybody's name, like you come in and you set that stuff. If you have a GM that's already there, by nature, you have people that have relationships with that GM. The GM, you know, clearly has some say in the culture already. So there's just a bunch of stuff that you can't start from scratch in the way that I think Cliff wants to start from scratch.
Now, that's fair. And I got just one last question on the Cliff front, just because we do have other job openings. But if you're looking at what happened last year in terms of Bobby Slowick being a candidate to get a job out here with one of these teams, and then you also look at a Ben Johnson, Slowick regress isn't really fielding like too many offers, or a lot of people aren't too interested.
No, he's going to get – he should get zero offers this offseason.
Yeah.
And based on what he did.
And then you got Johnson, you know, people, you know, still love the work that he's doing in Detroit. Do you think Cliff could be thinking on that front, like, all right, I stay here another year in Washington – not to say we have a terrible year, but like we don't go 12-5 like we did this year because of our schedule. Do you think is in play at all?
I mean, there's got to be some small part of it on human nature, but I think you have to just trust that you can do a good job and you're going to be Ben Johnson and not Bobby Slowick. Like Bobby Slowick's problem isn't that the league soured on him, it's that he did a bad job and the league saw it. It's that anybody who knows football is looking at what the Houston offensive line and protection plans were and their development plan for CJ Stroud and went, what? What are you guys trying to do?
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, that's a no fly. Like that can't happen. And if you're Cliff, I think you're looking to grow the offense next year, and it's a very, very different approach. And so you're going to be Ben Johnson, where your name is in it again next year and the year after. And I think Cliff will go about it in a very different way than Ben Johnson has, which, you know, the way that Johnson has is probably turns people off. I think Cliff will probably just shut down stuff. And if he does ultimately shut down some interviews, I think he'll go about it in a better way than what Ben Johnson did. And I realize that there's probably, if there's any Raiders fans listening, they're like, you mean like last year when we thought we had him? And it's like, yeah, you got into the negotiations and you couldn't come to a contract agreement. And Washington swooped in and got it done and gave him the terms that he was looking for and sold him on a better opportunity. So I don't think that you'll get to that point with Cliff. Like I think there's going to just be a very different tenor to the conversations because I think Johnson probably wanted to go maybe last year and thought he would because he'd already turned down one cycle. And then was like, actually, I don't want to. I think Cliff is much more clear-minded going into it. And that's going to be a different thing. So let's play Rank the Jobs next. Which job would you want if you're a head coach? So we've just said, if you're Cliff, the answer is none of them. But if you are someone who is maybe more eager to leave for whatever reason, which of these jobs do you actually want and in what order? We'll get to that then. Commanders Vibe Check Tuesday, starting at 4:30 on the phones at 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we're taking a look at the open jobs around the NFL. And it's so nice because, Anthony, it was just a year ago that the Commanders were going through this, right?
Man.
I mean, Black Monday 1 year ago, Rivera was fired. It's crazy. It's crazy. Now it's like, sure, we can look at this safely from the outside, knowing that Dan Quinn is all good. knowing how this ownership group operates, knowing the front office that's in place here. And really the hope is over the next couple of weeks that guys working in this building don't get poached. We already talked in the previous segment that we don't think Cliff Kingsbury will leave for any of these open jobs on the head coaching front. But if we take a look at all of them, let's rank them up. First, Anthony, the resumes. In no particular order. The Patriots. I guess these are in reverse cap space order, for whatever that's worth. The Patriots have the most cap space. They also have the number 4 pick, I believe, in the draft, Anthony?
Yep, they have the number 4 pick.
All right, so they have $132 million in cap space, the number 4 pick. The Raiders have $123 million in cap space and the number 5 pick?
Raiders have the 6th pick.
6th pick in the upcoming NFL draft. The Bears, I feel like the other thing we should put in is their quarterback situation. The Patriots have Drake May. The Raiders have Aiden O'Connell as their current incumbent. The Bears have Caleb Williams. The Jags have the 5th pick and then Trevor Lawrence. The Jets have a flaming pile of wreckage and actually have no quarterback. Tyrod Taylor might have a 2-year deal, but I think Rodgers is done, but they basically have no quarterback. And they have the 7th pick. The Saints have the 9th pick and Derek Carr. And then the Titans, again, are an honorable mention because they have a GM job, but we're not actually going to really deal with them, although they have the 1st pick and Will Levis. But I think Will Levis's time as the starter in Tennessee is done. But let's kick them out of the list because while it's worth mentioning from a newsworthiness standpoint, we're really focused on the head coaching jobs. So I would do, Anthony, do we want to do each have our individual list or do we just want to do this a draft style?
I like draft style.
Okay. I'm taking the 1st pick.
Ah. All right, go ahead.
Sorry. I actually think the job that I would take on this list is the New England Patriots.
Yep.
And yes, they have a boatload of cap space, but I don't. Like they have to spend smartly. Like I don't know that they're going to go sign a big superstar or whatever. And if they do, I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think in New England, like reestablishing the Patriot way and like, we're going to be smart. We're going to be tough. We're going to be physical and we're going to have our quarterback help us out. Like there is something to having that attitude, which is probably why they're going to sign Mike Vrabel to be their next head coach. And there is already speculation coming out from reporters. I heard like Judy Batista say this yesterday on NFL Network that for as much as there were legitimate reasons to fire Jerod Mayo, and there's just so much, you know, coming out of that building of that he just was in over his head. And I said this yesterday, I really appreciate Robert Kraft being like, it's my fault that I set Jerod Mayo up to fail. I gave him a job he wasn't ready for. That's not representative of him. That's representative of me. And in the future, I have no doubt he'll be a head coach. He just needs to do, you know, be an assistant for more time first. Mike Vrabel's ready right now. And Drake May looks outstanding. And they have all this cap space. They have the number 4 pick in a draft that's pretty set up at some other non-quarterback positions. And obviously, people are going to trade up. Or if not, just the first 2 picks will be quarterbacks. Even though Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders would have been the probably 7th and 8th quarterbacks in last year's draft, I think this is a pretty good spot. I think it's a pretty blank canvas outside of a legitimate franchise quarterback. And if they get Vrabel, frankly, they could go other directions, but if Vrabel will be the guy that I want, then you just need to get a good offensive coordinator. And I might even just keep Alex Van Pelt. Like the guy who was there, like did a pretty good job with May. And so if you just keep that relationship going, get Vrabel in there to run everything and really make a huge impact on that defense, like I think the Patriots could be a pain in the butt as soon as next year.
Yeah, I love the Patriots job just because they have so much space or cap space to do what and basically approach how they want to run that team through free agency. Like they can spin aggressively offensively or they can do it defensively. So definitely love the Patriots.
And like is the tackle from LSU still supposed to be like one of the top 5 picks? Will the left Campbell. Tackle from LSU?
Yep.
So like let's say the first 2 picks are quarterback and the third pick is Travis Hunter.
He's right
cool.
there.
Franchise left tackle available at number 4. Don't even have to move. Sick. Sign me up.
All right, so pick number two for me, I would probably lean, I would go Bears. And I'm interested to see who you pick number three because I'm torn a little bit. But I think I would go Bears. I think Caleb, I think he's still going to be good, man. I think he definitely had a tough first year. He also had two different offensive coordinators. I don't think they did a good job of, you know, just trying to develop him. As we saw, you know, Cliff and Dan do with Jaden Daniels. So I just think he just had a rough, like, first year. And defensively, I still think they have the pieces intact. But if you're on the field all the time, obviously, you know, you're going to give up stuff. And I'm not going to say they were, like, perfect throughout the year, but I think they did play good in spots. But, again, if your offense is constantly going three and out or not making it to the 50, not putting points on the board, it's going to be hard to, you know, continue to, like, limit teams when you're constantly on the field all the time. So I think defensively they're going to be okay. Caleb's going to figure things out. You have $73 million in cap. I like this job.
I think that's the obvious second choice. They have a lot of talent, much of it signed up. Like, DJ Moore's locked in. They gave him that extension in camp. Roma Dunze is a first rounder. Their right tackle, Darnell Wright, is a top 10 pick from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys have to play better, but you have the franchise quarterback. You have some weapons. You have defensive guy. I mean, Montez Sweat, again, is not like a world beater defensive end, but he's a very solid player. You're probably overpaying him. But he's locked in. There's a level of stability. My only drawback with the Bears job, or my only two drawbacks are, I don't know how much I want to work with Ryan Poles, and am I wasting a year where Poles is just going to get fired after the year if we're not that good again? Or do I interview and I'm like, Ryan Poles is not the problem here, because he's definitely made a lot of silly draft picks and probably been, I think, bad at managing the resources. Like, the Sweat trade's a perfect example. Like, Montez Sweat's a good player. The Commanders would probably be a little bit better with him this year. I don't know how much better. But getting what they got for him, the picks and the financial flexibility, is much better in the long term for Washington. Why isn't the same thing true for the Bears? Like, why didn't the Bears just take the 40th pick and take someone who they feel can develop into Montez Sweat and take the $25 million they spent on Montez Sweat per year and distribute that elsewhere in the roster?
Yep.
Or just wait for Montez Sweat to hit free agency and sign him. Like, there was no, outside of just making sure that he was a Bear and not having to battle in free agency, like, what's more valuable, paying Montez Sweat 27 or 28 per year versus 25 per year and keeping the second round pick? Like, I don't know. Those are the decisions that the GM has to make, but it does feel like Poles has made some along the way. And there's a couple other examples where I'm like, I don't know about that. That said, I'm not in love with any of the other GMs that I'd be stuck working with anyway. So there's also that. The third one here really comes down to whether or not you prefer a good quarterback to work with, or do you want a little more freedom and flexibility? Screw it. This feels hot takey, but I'm doing it for a reason. I just have to stick to my convictions, but it's not because I want to do a hot take. I'm going to put the Raiders next.
Ooh.
I love that they have $123 million in cap space. I don't love that they have the sixth pick and need a quarterback. But if I can wait to, if you tell me, hey, Mark Davis, who has been a championship owner in the WNBA and, you know, he's not afraid to be bold. They have a great facility out there. Allegiant's great. It's Vegas. Like, recruiting guys to play as free agents should not be that hard. Like, hey, we might suck this year, but next year we're going to hit the ground running. Let me continue to build. Let me build a culture. Let's do it the right way. And then it comes down to, do you like Tom Telesco, their general manager? But I would want to have that conversation with Telesco. I'm pretty sure I know how I feel about Trent Baalke and the Jags, and I don't think I want any piece of Trent Baalke, nor after listening to Shad Khan's press conference yesterday. I mentioned on yesterday's show, I had that on in the background as I was watching some film, and I would just look up every couple of minutes and be like, he just said what? Like, I don't want any part of the ownership in Jacksonville. So I'd probably take the Raiders and hope that I can be the one to shape that organization in the right direction, one that's not afraid to be bold and one that's got some resources at its disposal.
Yeah, Raiders were the other team I was back and forth with for number two anyway. I think fourth, I will go Jets. I will go Jets.
You can freaking have them.
I mean, it's what other options do you have? I definitely don't want to go to Jacksonville because of what's his name? Shad Khan. And yeah, the fact
buddy,
he said
if you think the Jets ownership situation is bad or the Jags ownership situation is bad, I have bad things to tell you about the Jets. Oh. Woody Johnson sucks. And he like his the whole family situation there, his kids getting meddling and being involved, like that one is dead last. I would rather have the Saints negative $81 million in cap space than I would work for the Jets.
Good gracious. I mean, it's not a lot we're working with down here.
No, it's not. This is why Cliff ain't going anywhere, in my humble opinion. It's also why if I was Dallas, I would 100% move on from Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You're getting your pick of the litter, man.
Yeah, this is bad stuff. But like,
I'd much rather work for Jerry Jones than Woody Johnson. Not even close.
I will say this about the Jets, just as an org, and why I would choose them over the Jags anyway. They've had some success. We haven't really seen much success from Jets.
They're interviewing Rex Ryan, who was the last coach to take him to the playoffs in 2012.
Have we seen Jacksonville?
Yes. Jacksonville's made an AFC championship game
since 2017 with
Blake Bortles. Freaking Bortles.
Yeah, Blake Bortles and Jalen Ramsey and company. All right, yeah, never mind. I don't know, Craig. I don't really have a good reasoning for any of these organizations at the bottom.
That's the correct answer, actually. Okay. All right, I'm just going to rank them because we're out of time and they all stink. I would go the Saints next, and I know that feels crazy because they're in short-term absolute cap hell, but they have shown to be a competent organization. I know their ownership situation super messy because they had an old guy who got remarried and the kids, and it's like soap opera stuff. But I do think that like Mickey Loomis kind of runs the show there, and he's a competent GM who's done some things over the years. They're in a really, really bad way cap-wise, but I think it's like they're a year away from being potentially able to get out of it. I would probably see if you can move on from Derek Carr, see if you can recoup a fourth round pick or whatever for him. I would probably just go into next year starting Spencer Rattler and see where the wind blows. And if Rattler turns out, because he showed some flashes at times, if he turns out to be a player, great. If not, I'm at the top of the draft next year in a much better quarterback class. I would probably be willing to take on that job and just have a little bit of patience. And I get to live in New Orleans, which is fun. I would then take on the Jags job. Then it would be the Jets. Because at least with the Jags, I get Trevor Lawrence. Trent Baalke's a nightmare, in my opinion, but like he's a known commodity. And like he's done some good stuff. They're trying to build out the medical staff and the facilities and all that kind of stuff down there. And Brian Thomas Jr. is really great. Like, I can do a lot worse than Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. The Jets have very few players, owner. Sauce is great. Garrett Wilson's great. They've got, very few players. Quinnen Williams is great. But, man, they're just a lost organization. The only good side to the Jets is you and the GM can go together. Other than that, big, giant, sad sack franchise, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. That's the rankings. Pats, Bears, Raiders, Saints, Jags, Jets. All right, when we get back, the vibes are much better in Washington. So let's do a vibe check, shall we? It's Vibe Check Tuesday. We've asked this question once before. How are you feeling going into game one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? This time, it's game one of the playoffs. Last time, it was game one of the regular season. Vibe Check Tuesday at 301-230-0980. Next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And it's a Vibe Check Tuesday. And let me know if this sounds familiar. The Commanders are prepared to start the next phase of their season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. Week one, Redux. This time, playoffs. How do you feel going into this? 301-230-0980 is the phone number, 301-230-0980. And Anthony, when we were doing Take Command this morning, it was a very funny show in a weird way, because I kept kind of having to stop and be like, by the way, they won, and they've won five straight games. And this is a bit of a silly thing where right now I definitely don't love the way the Commanders are playing. I think there is a lack of crispness. There's a lack of detail that is not up to the standard that is them playing their best. And I know I'm not alone in this, not just amongst the fan base or amongst other media types. I know that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury agree with me, because every time they get to the podium, that's what they're saying as well. They're like, yeah, we have to do this better. We have to get these runs targeted. We have to make sure on defense we're more disciplined in our gaps. And I think we did a really good job on Take Command. And by we, I mean I led Logan to water, and then he just had a super soaker and then sprayed us with all the information, slash drank. That we did a good job of explaining on that show in painstaking detail, if you would like to get the podcast version, of some of the ways where this defense and this offense are just not executing to that level. I think the radio shorter summarized version before we get to the phones at 301-230-0980 is there's clear room for opportunity. A lot of this stuff, I think, is on the players to lock into details that the coaches are giving them. We can go through examples if you want, but I do feel like it's right there. And especially on offense, I think Jaden just had a bad day at the office. Like, I think, you know, the leg soreness, maybe that bothered him a little bit, but whatever it was, whatever caused it to be off, he still saw the field really well. I think initially I thought he didn't. And if you watch like the first series back, you're like, what is that? But basically after that series, he has a bunch of throws that go off receivers' hands that he usually hits. He's got guys that, you know, sometimes it's on Jaden. He's also got guys that are dropping balls. And these are players that have been fairly reliable this year. So I think with that, I, in a way, like, feel okay going into the playoffs, because I trust this team to lock it in and go. But I'm also nervous because this is kind of how they've been surviving for a month. And now they're going to play arguably their best opponent in that stretch outside of Philadelphia, depending on what you feel about the version of Philadelphia that Washington played after Jalen Hurts exited that game in the first quarter. And the question becomes, is this good enough to win against a genuinely good playoff caliber Tampa team versus the Cowboys and the Titans and some of the other teams that they've beaten in this five-game win streak?
Yeah, that's how I've been looking at it, Craig. Like, I feel like there have been games where we should have been a little bit more dominant, just because we know the level of execution that Washington has played with, you know, when they've been at their best. We've seen them go out there and put up 40 plus points multiple times this season, and it's just like, we're playing the Saints, we're playing the, well, we blew out the Titans, we're playing the Saints, the Cowboys,
the Falcons,
like these are teams like we should have, you know, also went out there and put up 30 plus, maybe not 40, or just looked a little bit better.
I'm glad you, hold on, just real quick, I think it's also worth pointing out that, like, the way that you played, specifically the Saints, the Falcons, and the Cowboys, teams that run, their run defense has been bad all year, and you couldn't run on them. Nope. And that's supposed to be a part of who you are. I think that is a huge factor here.
Yeah, that too. So, again, just the execution, going back to like what you were talking about, the drops, the not seeing the field outside of the first drive, obviously. But it's just like, that's what we expect as we inch closer to the end of the season. And teams always want to say, you want to be, you know, clicking in December. Like, you want to be hitting your stride. And I'm not going to say we've necessarily not hit our stride, but at the same token, it's sort of kind of we've taken a step back from where we were. So I'm a little, you know, cautiously optimistic about where we are going into the playoffs, just because December, especially against inferior teams, we should have really been clicking, hitting our stride. And offensively, I don't think we've done that. You talk about the run game, you talk about the passing game, like, it all.
And yet.
And we won.
They're undefeated. They just went undefeated in December. So what are we even talking about? Like, this is the weird thing about the NFL, especially because we have so much time that we spend analyzing these games, and then it's really 3.5 hours on a Sunday. And it's like, oh, yeah, but at the end, they have more points than the other team. Isn't that the point? It's like, oh, yeah, but also, like, we're trying to project it forward and guess, give our best guess, which is a silly thing that we do because watch the NFL every week. Crazy stuff happens. Bryce Young looked like the worst quarterback in the entire league, got benched for Andy Dalton, and then by the end of the season, he's dropping 44 and walking off in overtime. He's throwing Steph Curry-style no-look touchdown passes. Like, that's the NFL. Some weeks Will Levis is good Will Levis. Some weeks Will Levis is most weeks Will Levis. Like, you have wild variants, and, like, even this year, I mean, people wanted to, like, the Chiefs discourse this week was so stupid. Like, oh, they're ducking the Bengals. One, the Bengals didn't control their own destiny. So they needed extra help. And I guess that would have happened because Miami lost, had the Chiefs somehow beaten the Broncos, but the Chiefs had no responsibility to anybody. They're not ducking anybody. They handled their business, and the Bengals lost to the Patriots in week one. You know, some of the other teams that, you know, if Baltimore's like, dang, I wish we had a better seed, and didn't come down to the end of the regular season where Lamar has to play in week 18. They lost to the Raiders, I think it was, early on in the season. Like, they had some really dumb losses. They lost to the Browns, right? I remember them or the Steelers lost to the Browns. One of them lost in the division
Steelers
to the Browns.
Was the Steelers.
So, like, these it's a wacky league. Stuff happens. But I think when you look overall, the consistency of it, I think the thing that's in a way frustrating and I would say concerning if I'm DQ is the mistakes are constant, but they're not consistent. In other words, I got a missed target run here. We just didn't do a good enough job. Like, we went to the right place, but we failed on a technique here. That time we got the right read from the quarterback, but he missed the throw. Next time he misses the read, or the receiver runs the wrong route, or the running back goes the wrong way. There's a play in the game where Eckler goes the wrong way and Jaden actually turns it into a 5-yard game because it's a zone read. He realizes that the hole that is open is the one that the running back is supposed to go through, but there's no running back there to take the ball from him. So he just runs into that hole himself, which is kind of genius. So there's things like that that keep happening time over time over time. And I think eliminating those and just being like, oh, that was a good, clean, crisp, low penalty to no penalty performance would feel a lot better than the way that they've won these 5 in a row, but they've also won 5 in a row. So how are folks feeling about it? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your call's next on a Vibe Check Tuesday. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well, at the Team 980. And one, all the phone lines are open. I'm like, is anybody? Here's the thing, Anthony. The weather's, it's nasty outside still. Like, it's better than it was yesterday, obviously, because it was still like snowing sideways. And we were in like phase 2 of the snow yesterday at this time. But it's still like, it's still icy. Like, my car's still stuck. I'd have to go down an ice chute of an alley to get to a main road. So hopefully tomorrow do that. Sometimes when there's not as many people driving, there's not going to be as many people calling. Cause like for lots of folks that love to listen to the show, they're stuck at home trying to entertain their kids, which is something that they thought they'd be done with this week. After 2 weeks at home, hey, it's Christmas break, woo! And then it's like, all right, kids, back to SCO. No.
Nope.
All right. We're out of shows. We can't, I guess we can have a snowball fight for a little bit, but like, then what do we do? So that's my theory on the lack of calls for today's show.
I would agree. I would agree, sir.
But you know, people are chiming in.
The YouTube comment section.
The YouTube comment section. Earlier on in the show, I think people did make an interesting point that perhaps we underrated Vegas as a. Actually, I don't know that we did though. I mean, we did put it third behind the team that drafted Caleb Williams and the team that drafted Drake May, but. Remember last year, Cliff was being courted by Vegas, And he's got that house out in Arizona. You know, this time of year, it's hard to recruit people here in D.C. Don't let them, unless they're real cold weather fiends. But I do think that, like, look, they already had an issue last year with the coaching contract stuff. Like, are they really going to go back to Cliff? And is Cliff really going to be like, hey, I know we couldn't get the contract worked out last year, but, like, let's do it now. Also, he would be working with a GM that he does – I don't think he and Tom Telesco, the former Chargers GM who took over last year at the head at the top of the Raiders. I don't know that he and Tom Telesco have a great relationship. And maybe they do. Maybe they've known each other in football circles. And if they do, then somebody please tell me. But, like, I'm not – if I'm Cliff, I'm not that interested in working with a GM that I don't know. Like, if I'm Cliff, I want to go somewhere where I can bring one of the people from the Commanders front office. I'm like, Lance Newmark, me and you, let's go. And if Newmark doesn't get poached by Ben Johnson, apparently that's Johnson's guy, that wherever he wants to go, which, by the way, could mean we're in for another Ben Johnson no-go cycle, because I don't think Ben Johnson's going to the Jets. And, like, if you're the Jags – and you want to hire Ben Johnson, right? Hey, man, I'll talk to you, but Balky's got to go. Like, I'm bringing my own guy. Me, I know who I want. Like, we're going to do the GM. You can talk to him, but, like, we're a package deal. And you're Shad Khan, and you're going to pick Trent Balky over Lance Newmark and Ben Johnson. It appears that's the case. And so that's kind of the wacky thing about this whole job market is add the Cowboys in too. Like, the Cowboys have a $60 million quarterback who is now in his 30s and has had injury issues. But hopefully Dak will be good to go next year for them. You paid CD. Now you got to figure out Micah. You have limited cap flexibility, and you know that your GM is never going to manage the cap in a way that, like, the Eagles do, where they extend guys early and can keep all this talent they accumulate. So even though Will McClay is one of the best draft guys in the league, like, you're always going to be battling from behind the eight ball. So the Cowboys are not that, and you literally can't bring a GM with you because Jerry Jones is not interested in giving up the GM title. So that's a yikes. You have the Jags, who are keeping Trent Baalke. You have Telesco, who was hired last year by Mark Davis in Vegas. You have Mickey Loomis in place in New Orleans. And the Jets are the only place that you have Elliott Wolf, who at least is, like, I think, pretty well respected, up there in New England. And then you have the Jets, where you can bring your GM, but that you both have to work for Woody Johnson, and absolutely forget that. So I know that Vegas has no state income tax, and it's really great to get around, and the stadium is really nice, and the practice facility is great, and being, like, awesome as the Raiders comes with a certain cachet because of their franchise history, and the colors are cool. But hell no. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I don't want that job.
I mean, I feel like if I'm Ben Johnson or Cliff, the Bears, the Jags.
The Bears and the Patriots are the only two I consider.
Yeah. Those are the only two.
And here's the difference, right? The difference in Ben Johnson and Cliff is, one, Cliff's done it before, so it's not a new itch to scratch.
Okay.
And two, he's getting paid like a head coach now because he got a contract extension from the Arizona Cardinals in 2021 that goes through 2027. And I know Ben Johnson's making good offensive coordinator money because they paid him each of the last 2 years to stay. That was part of the deal. So he's probably making like $2 million a year. Cliff is making whatever he's making here. I'm guessing he's making like $1 million plus as an OC here, plus $7.5 million from the Cardinals. He doesn't need it. Ben Johnson doesn't need it. I mean, how much money does one person, I mean, making over $1 million a year is like, that's a lot of money. You know, he's got kids in school up there. Like, there's a lot of things to consider. But from a football standpoint, I don't know that I'd take either job. The Bears, if I'm Johnson with that amount of talent, depending on what I think of Caleb Williams, is tempting. But I would say that, I'm probably good on all that. All right, Mitch Tischler joins us next as we get back into the Commanders and where they're at headed into the playoffs. Mitchell will talk to us about some of the things that not only we have questions about, some of the things we've talked about with Mitch over the last couple of weeks when we've, you know, been discussing the offensive line issues and the corner issues and all these different things. But also, what are the things that we actually feel good about going into the playoffs? Plus, what was it like in the locker room post-game with the Jaden Daniels situation? Mitch has all the answers next on the Hoffman Show.